probably not Munich, to see a bike messenger. But maybe you, I remember as a teenager going to Washington, D.C. and seeing these bike messengers. They'd had these side bags on, and man, they're racing through traffic and around and can get a lot of places faster than through in a vehicle because of all the traffic and stuff. And they're a messenger. What they're delivering is more important than who they were to a degree. They couldn't have come without them, but they were delivering that important message that that other business needed now. The reality when it comes to life is it really isn't all about you and me. We're a messenger. Now, that's an awesome task, but it really isn't about the messenger. It's all about the message, Jesus Christ. A Long Island businessman in the 1930s bought an expensive brass barometer to mount in his home. You've seen them, some of you, teenagers. It's those three round circles on a wall if you don't know what a barometer is. He bought it to mount on his home. When he pulled it out of the box and he started to hang it, the arrow indicated the current weather condition was pointing to hurricane. He's like, something is wrong with this. Angrily, he pounded his palm on the glass face of the barometer, but to no avail. It wouldn't move. He shook it and banged it on the table. The arrow still didn't move. He said, obviously, this thing is defective. Got to bring it back. Send it back. So the next day, he fired off a nasty letter to the manufacturer and dropped it in a mailbox on his way to work in Manhattan. But sure enough, a storm rolled through. And when he drove home in the afternoon, his house was destroyed with a hurricane. The messenger wasn't defective, but he had to believe the message that it was giving. Now, there are so many different messengers in our lives when it comes to the authority of the Word of God. There's your pastor. As your pastor, I have a responsibility to present to you the Word of God. This really has nothing to do with me, but everything to do with the message, Jesus Christ. There are other messengers in our lives. We think of Sunday school teachers. We think of other teachers that are teaching us different aspects of life, teaching us the truth about life. We think of parents. Maybe you remember when you were a teen, and maybe you teens remember right now what I'm about to tell you. You remember when your parents didn't really know what they were talking about. Man, I remember my dad talked to me about some stuff in high school, and I'm like, Dad, you don't get it. Of course, I learned not to say, Dad, you don't get it. But the reality was, Dad didn't understand. But I had to obey anyway, didn't I? And as I look back, I'm so glad that I listened and obeyed because I didn't understand. My dad knew more truth than I did about the situation. And who knows where it would have led me in life. I'm so thankful for listening to the messenger. It wasn't all about him. He was burdened that my life would be all about God. And as we go through life, my burden isn't that you're all about Pastor Josh. In fact, my desire isn't that you're all about Jeruel Baptist Church. Now, there's a reason that we are Jeruel Baptist Church. We're talking about that in Sunday school and the Baptist distinctives. And man, I think we should get excited about our church. But our church isn't the message. The Bible is the message that you and I need to share to the world. And as the Apostle Paul said, he himself, an apostle of God, it wasn't about him. Even though he had authority by God. In fact, he argued that in chapter 1 that they should listen to him because he's an apostle of God. And he's going to continue this throughout the book. Listen to me because I'm teaching you the message of God. But it wasn't all about pleasing Paul and making Paul look good or feel good. It was about the church at Corinth living for God. And they had to listen to the message. Friend, today, what I'm about to tell you is not anything of my words. If it were, I'd just be simply wasting your time. And you could find a lot better things to do on a Sunday morning than just get talked to by some preacher. But what I'm about to share with you is the message of God. Now, it's up to you what you choose to do with it, but don't be like that businessman in Long Island who didn't believe the message and destroyed his life and all that he'd worked for. Let's be, as James reminds us, hearers and doers of the word. God will change our lives as we listen to, believe, and obey the message that he's given to us. But before we get into his word, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love. God, I pray that you would help us this morning to listen to your message. God, I don't want this to be about me at all. In fact, my burden, God, is that everyone here would forget about me and focus solely on you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What is it that distracts your faith in Christ? What is it? See, the Apostle Paul, as he gets into this, he says in verse 1, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God." Is it some messenger who just doesn't speak the same way you think he should speak? Or act the way he should act, and you're going to let that distract you from your faith in God? See, Paul says, don't let me or anything else distract you from that which your faith should be in. Verse 5, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And friend, it doesn't matter what messenger in your life fails you or doesn't live up to everything you think he or she should live up to. You and I must believe the message of God, because that's what we are accountable for. You are not accountable to me. You are not accountable to Jerusalem Baptist Church. You stand in account to God and his word. 1 Corinthians 2:5 reminds us that our faith should not be in anyone or any church or any organization, other than, as Paul gets into later in this book, and that which was laid, which is Jesus Christ. He is our foundation for our faith and for our life. Some of the messengers that we can let get in the way of our faith and distract us. And this has happened multiple times, because each one of these messengers are sinners and not perfect. How many people have been derailed in their faith because of their pastor? Because their faith was in their pastor. Yeah, maybe they trusted Christ as Savior, but as they lived life, the Bible says the just shall live by faith, not in your preacher, but in the Word of God. And how many pastors who have failed or have hurt people, and they said, well, forget that, I'm not trying God anymore. Don't let your faith hinge on me. Now, man, my burden and desire is to honor God with my life, but I'm telling you right now, I will fail you sometime. I'm human. But if you let me get in the way of your walk with God, you stand accountable to God for that, not to me. See, Paul said it's all about God, the message of the power of God. How about teachers? Man, we can easily let teachers, well, they were too harsh when they said that. Whoever the teacher may be in our life. But don't let that teacher get in the way of your relationship with God. Parents, teens, you know what I'm talking about. Because all of us parents know exactly what I'm talking about. You don't want to listen to your parents because they just don't get it. They didn't live in 2018 at your age. And you're right at that. But God has given you parents to have wisdom. Well, they may not say it the way you wanted to hear it. But don't let that derail you from your faith in God. Only let that draw you closer to God. Your mentor. So your mentor may fail in his or her relationship with God. Your godly friends may fail and sin because they're sinners too. But the reality is our faith must be in God and in his word, not in the messengers. So today I want to challenge you, put your faith in Christ. Don't let your faith get distracted by the messenger. See, that's what Paul starts out by saying here. He said he's the messenger, but he doesn't want their faith to get distracted by him. He's an apostle. But he said, it's not about me. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. So I brought a message. I brought a message. This word excellency, prominence or superiority, in rank or in character. He said it wasn't as excellent as maybe you wanted to hear. We all are learning English, the language, as we continue to speak, even as we go through adulthood, right? I mean, we learn different truths about it. And there are some people who speak what we would say maybe better English than someone else. Well, they didn't say it the way I wanted to say it. Or, man, listen to the way they worded that. I wish I could word stuff that flowy and that clear. See, Paul said it's not all about me using flowy or pretty speech. Excellent, that which is pleasing to the ears. He said, I'm presenting to you the message of God. Now, he wasn't giving room to say, just do a sloppy job as you do it. But he's saying here, I'm not everything, but I'm simply a messenger giving you the message of God. The messenger in your life may not say things just the right way your ears want to hear them. They may come across a little harsh sometimes to you, and maybe they don't mean it. And maybe they do mean it. But don't let that distract you from your faith in God. Don't let your faith get distracted by the messenger. Paul says his speech may not please you. That which is said from his mouth. Maybe it gets kind of worded funny. It's like, what do they really mean by that? Or man, that's just goofy. Now, as a public speaker, I understand I make mistakes in my speech. I've said some pretty funny things, right? Float your goat and other kind of things that you can do. And the reality is, man, we mess up in our speech. But yet as we do all of that, it's to present the message of God. Take a laugh at what I say, because the point is, it's all about Him. And if you're receiving the message of God, that's what matters. Paul said, it's not about me and my speech. Don't get distracted by me, he said. I'm giving you the message of God. 2 Corinthians 11, 6 and 7. Turn over there, if you will, real quick. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Another letter he writes later on to this church at Corinth. Verses 6 and 7, he said, but though I be rude in speech, not being rude like we understand rude, not polite. What he's saying, though I be rude or elementary, if you will, or not as pronounced in what you would expect me and how to word it all. He said, though I be rude in my speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things. Have I committed an offense in abasing myself that ye might be exalted? Because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely. Friend, it's all about God. And where we perceive the message, not the messenger, that's what makes a difference in our lives. Lifting high the message of God. When you leave here, and whether it's you're going for lunch or whatever it is, it's not what Pastor Josh said or didn't say. It's this is how God spoke to me through His Word. God's message is what we're here for. We are here to worship God, and one of those ways is by listening and responding to His message. And yes, that does include His messenger. And I am one of those messengers of God to you. But yet, as we already said, you have many other messengers of God in your life. But don't let messengers of God distract your faith in Him. Whether it's with the speech that distracts you. By the way, don't let your speech then hinder you from being the messenger of God in other people's lives. Well, I don't know how to share the gospel. I'm not very good and I stutter, or I get things switched around sometimes, or I may not remember everything on the spot. I don't either. But the reality is we're messengers of God giving the message. And if people don't ever hear the message, how can they believe the message? How can they believe, again, how can they hear except people be sent? Romans 10. How can they hear without a preacher? They need you and me to proclaim the truth of God's word, even if we don't say it the most eloquently. Paul said, here as I've preached and proclaimed to you, it hasn't been that way. So don't let your fear, your unsmoothness of speech get in your way of sharing the gospel. Don't let your faith get distracted by the messenger because their speech isn't exactly what you want to hear. Or their wisdom, Paul said in verse 1. I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom. This word wisdom, it's the human wisdom, ranging from the knowledge of the arts and matters of the day and everyday life, to mental excellence in its highest and fullest sense. He said, so I'm not everything. Did Paul know he wasn't everything? Man, he was at Athens. He knew there were learned men, men who had been taught in philosophy and so many other things. He said, it's not about me. It's not about trying to win an argument. It's about sharing the message. Because remember in chapter 1, verse 18, he said, the wisdom of the cross is what? Foolishness. He said, I'm not coming to you with worldly wisdom. And there may be things I say that sometimes that just don't make sense to you. Well, that wouldn't make sense. Teens, your parents may tell you things sometimes that you shouldn't do this because. And you don't see it and you don't understand it. But will you believe the messenger? As God has given you parents to help lead you, not necessarily in earthly wisdom. And yes, there's those practical things you learn. But in that spiritual wisdom of God and His Word. See, Paul said, it's not about me coming to you in earthly wisdom and pleasing you. He said that his wisdom wasn't what it was about. It may not convince everybody. Because the message is the testimony of Christ. Testimony, proof, or evidence given. Sometimes you think of a court case. I remember being involved in a car accident when I was a college student at home, and I was driving, and I had a couple sisters with me at the time, both of them younger than me, and man, we were involved. I didn't hit anybody or anything, but we were involved in a car accident, and I had to wait, and guess who had to question me? The police officer. I mean, that was really the first time I ever sat in the back of a cruiser, and I was kind of nervous. One of those things involved in that was a breathalyzer. Now, I had never had a breathalyzer test. It's like, I mean, did I eat something that's going to, that's my naivety in my mind that's going to send this off or whatever. I mean, I'm nervous sitting in the back of this cruiser. And he ends up and he talks to me quite a bit and questioned me of what happened and how this went on. And we talked quite a bit. He put me at ease and I was thankful for that. But I had to give testimony from my perspective of how this accident happened. Paul is giving testimony of what difference Christ makes in life. In fact, Paul gives the testimony of what difference Christ made in his life, not just in lives out there, but in his personally. He said, this is not about me. It's about the message, Jesus Christ, and how he's changed my life, and he wants to change yours too. He said, so don't let my speech or my lack of worldly wisdom that you think I should have distract you in your faith with God. Don't let your faith get distracted by the messenger. You don't agree with the messenger? Will you at least listen to the message? They may hurt your feelings sometimes. Will you listen to the message? The Word of God. Paul goes on, though, in verse 2. And he says, let your faith be strengthened by the messenger. Let your faith be strengthened. Don't get distracted, but be strengthened, rather. Not in the messenger, but your faith in Christ be strengthened by that messenger. Why? Verse 2, he said, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. See, Paul, when he went to Corinth, it wasn't about him making a name for himself. That's what so many people are about today. How can I make more of a name for myself? Whether it's in the job that I have so that I can rank up and people can look at me. Whether it's on social media so I can get 104 likes on this post instead of 4. Whether it's in whatever field of life, we often want to be about us. But Paul said, me being in your life should actually strengthen your faith because you can see it's not my speech that your faith is in. You can see it's not my wisdom. But it's all about the message, Jesus Christ. He says, remember, I have a goal. Paul had a goal as he was ministering to these people. He had a personal goal. It affected his own life. I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ. His goal was his purpose statement for his life. That I may what? Know Him. For to me to live is, and to die is gain. See, the church knew that. It wasn't about him making a name for himself. And here, even as he's writing to the church at Corinth, it's not so that he could make some name. You better listen to what I have to say. He's saying, I'm burdened because I want you to obey God. and you're struggling in this area, and don't do it because you're accountable to God. He said, me being involved in your life should only strengthen your faith in God, because you can tell it is not me and the smoothness of who I am, because my goal is all about pleasing God. As your pastor, again, my goal is about pleasing God in my own life. And I sure don't always do it. I want to. I'm burdened that I do. But I'm burdened for that personally. One of my biggest fears in life is that someday I will walk away from God. I've seen preachers do it. And if I don't walk with God, will I walk away from God? Yes, I will. My faith needs to be strengthened in God. Not in my position as your pastor. Not in my role in life as a husband and a dad. Though all those things are true, my faith must be strengthened in God. And Paul said, it's all about Christ, that I may not know anything among you save Christ. The goal that he had was to please Christ, both personally and then in his interpersonal relationships and their lives. His goal was that they would please God. Maybe your job has a purpose statement. Your company that you work for has a purpose statement. Maybe it's in the main office or somewhere else, and this is their purpose statement. They want to do this with their customers, and so that's why they do this with their employees, or whatever it may be. Every good business has a purpose statement. Every godly Christian needs to have a purpose statement. Whether it's Philippians 1:21, for to me to live is Christ or to die is gain. Or maybe it's another verse. You say, man, this is my life verse. This is what dictates my life every day. It's not about the preachers or the other messengers in my life. They're presenting to me God's word, and I believe it and I want to live it out. That's what my life is about. Paul said, I'm burdened for you, church at Corinth. I want you to please God, because you will stand account to God for how you live on Monday. You will stand account to God for how you live on Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and every day of the week. You will stand account to God for how you live on Sunday, often referred to as the Lord's Day. He said, here the reality is, I'm burdened that you live for God, because I'm burdened that I live for God. Let your faith be strengthened by the messenger. Remember, your messengers in your life have a goal. Sometimes they get skewed. Sometimes they fail. But if your faith is in God and in the message, you won't let that distract you. It might hurt. And man, it might not be everything you hoped it would be. But you won't let that tear away your faith at God and the power of Christ. Remember, the goal is all about knowing Him. 1 Corinthians 1:1, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God. He said, I am what I am later by the grace of God, but it's God's will that I'm an apostle sent to you to give a message. You may not like it, but God called me to be the messenger in your life. And you may not always like the messengers that God uses. This church at Corinth struggled with that with Paul. You don't have everything that we think you should have as a public speaker. Apollos was better and more polished. Paul said, I'm giving you a message of God. You must listen, not because of the messenger, but let me strengthen your faith. Let me being involved in your life strengthen your faith, because you know it's got to be of God. We think of Peter and the others shortly after the day of Pentecost, and the world is watching. What is going on with these unlearned men? It was the power of Christ. And that's what it should be in our life. That's why those that we work with or rub shoulders with every day, whether it's at school or as we're out shopping or wherever it is, should see there's a difference, because it's not about you. You are not the end all. It is the message you bring, the message of Christ to a lost and dying world. So let the messenger points you to Christ. Again, even if you don't believe or you struggle with everything of how they're acting or behaving. Again, not an excuse, not a justification for sin or failure, but just coming to the recognition that as humans, I can't always please everybody. I sure want to try to please God most of all. But then being that messenger, sharing God's message. Because it then affects others' lives. Remembering that the goal is Christ, not themselves. Philippians 3, 7 through 10, we won't turn there right now. But I encourage you to read that passage and see how Paul's burden for his own life flowed out of him then into others' lives. He said that I may know him. But that was why he gave the message, so that you can say that I may know him. And so that you can share that message, so others can say that I may know him. Even as he challenged Timothy to teach others, to teach others, to teach others. You and I are messengers of God. But you and I have messengers of God that we need to let them be strengthening factors in our faith in Christ. Because it's all about Christ. So here in verse 1, we saw that I can't let my faith get distracted by the messenger. Verse 2, I need to let my faith be strengthened by the messenger. And in verse 3, I can't let my faith get distracted by the messenger. Paul reminds us again, hey, I'm just human. Verse 3, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He said, and I was with you in what? You ever felt that way when you're sharing the message of God? Whether it's to another Christian who, man, you're just challenging them with some things you've learned. I just feel so weak, I don't know what to say. Or maybe it's when you're sharing the gospel. I don't know. I know I got saved. And so you try to share what you know and the scriptures that you remember. You just feel so weak about it. Paul said, here, I was before you in weakness. And in what? You ever been afraid of other people? And man, how am I going to share this? And what are they going to think? But the reality, Paul said, it's about the message, not about the messenger. Don't let the messenger distract your faith in Christ. Maybe you just don't appreciate them coming and talking. Maybe they won't appreciate you coming and talking. But again, in love, as we point each other, that's what Paul was coming to this church in love. He said, I love you. I'm burdened for you. There is sin that needs to be dealt with. And I want to see you please God, because he reminds them later on, you will stand before the bema seat of Christ someday. And I want to see, and I want you to be able to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. He said, so the reality is it's not about me, but I'm burdened that you get the message. So don't let me distract your faith in Christ. Maybe I'm not everything you hoped. If you think I am, just wait. The reality is, again, as humans, we fail people. And as your pastor, I will fail you. As a husband, as a dad, I fail my family. I don't want to. Man, I'm striving to please for God and live for God. But what if my family let that distract them from their faith in Christ? You know, you look back to your childhood, and aren't you thankful you didn't let your parents' behavior distract you from faith in Christ? Some of you look back and you say, man, I'm thankful that my parents, they could have. And I could have let that just get in the way of my faith in Christ and made me bitter or whatever it may have been. But let's listen. And let's not let the messenger distract our faith. He said, I may seem humanly weak because I really am. Weakness is feebleness of the body or mind, frailty. Paul didn't have all the strength that maybe they wanted him to have as a leader. And yet, as I am the messenger, I can't let that keep me from giving the message. But you just don't know, Pastor. I just get so intimidated and weak in the knees, and I feel weak all over when I start sharing the gospel. I do know. You know how many times as I come to present God's word to you that I just feel like, what am I have to offer? That I don't want to waste your time. It's all about him and not me. And it's the same as you and I go and share the gospel. Sometimes we feel weak, but we can't let that stop us from giving the message. Because the message is Christ. the hope of glory, not just for eternity, though that's incredible, but to hope for this life that He changes lives. And I want it. Paul said he continued to strive for that life change because he hadn't arrived. He said, but this message, I may come in weakness, but it's all about Christ. It wasn't simply weakness. He said, it may seem like I'm afraid because sometimes I've been afraid of how do I say or what are they going to say or what are they going to think. Or Paul was human too. Again in verse 3, I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much what? Trembling. Parents, you ever getting ready to talk to your kid about you know what? Whatever that you know what is in your kid's life right now, and you're just like, man, I don't know what they're going to say. I don't know what they're going to think. Maybe they're going to stomp off mad and angry. Maybe I can just wait another day. Maybe another week. Parents, let's go in the boldness and strength of God with His love to teach our kids biblical principles. They may not agree with it. In fact, they may verbally disagree with it. Paul said, I came to you with much trembling as your messenger, but God's message was more important than how I felt. And as parents, we must come to grips with that with our kids. Man, I want to please my kids. I want to be their friends. But as much as I love them, I've got to tell them the message of God, that God will hold them accountable for that behavior. Parents, let's do that. Sometimes as your pastor, I'm going to do that. And I'm telling you, it's with much fear and trembling. Man, I get weak in the knees, sick to the stomach. Things sometimes that I know, man, I got to go talk about that. Oh, pastor just has to say all that and he's confident. Man, I come in weakness at times. Because I don't like to always confront sin as Paul's about to do here. He said it's all about the message, though it's Christ. And so we must put ourselves aside. So don't get distracted by the messenger. Oh, well, he just seems weak. But is he giving you God's word or is she giving you God's word? Parents, as we teach our kids, are we giving them God's word, not just, but I said so? Why? Biblical principles. And teens, sometimes you don't understand all the biblical principles they're trying to invest as they're teaching you that. You may not agree with it. But go to the Word of God. And if nothing else, the Bible says, honor thy father and thy mother. And children, obey your parents. As much as I know, your parents are burdened to teach you the Word of God and the principles of God's Word. So listen, even when you don't want to. Even when it's a little awkward. Teens, you ever had that awkward conversation with your parents? Like, oh, I just wish this was done. Parents, you remember having that? Whether it's with your kids or when you were that teen and remember, oh, I remember sitting with my dad. We were out driving late. I think it was a Saturday evening. We were driving in our big old brown maxi van, and I don't know where we were driving. Dad was driving, and I was swallowing hard, but I had to listen. I didn't agree with everything, but I saw what he was teaching me later on, and was so glad I listened. Let's listen to the messenger as the messenger presents God's word, and let's not let that distract me from my faith in Christ. But only draw me closer to Him. Paul said that again in verse 3. Don't let me distract your faith in Christ. Verse 4. My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. He said it's not all about persuasive speech. You might win an argument, but that doesn't mean you win the heart. He said, I'm not here to convince you to believe me. You need to believe God. And if you don't believe God, that's between you and Him. I want you to believe God. I mean, I'm burdened that our kids, when they leave our house, they live for God. I mean, we've talked about this, and we're so burdened that they grasp the reality of the truth of God's Word. But is there the possibility that they won't? Yeah, there sure is. I mean, that scares us as parents. We've talked about that. We can't make them choose, but as the messenger of God in their lives, we've got to teach them the message. Even when But I had that conversation 5 times yesterday. Right? You know what I'm talking about, parents, right? Kids, it's like, yeah, I'm ready for that to be over. But the reality is, let's listen to the message of God's word and let the power of Christ change our lives. He says, don't get distracted by the messenger. And once again, in verse 5, he says, let your faith be strengthened by the messenger. My weakness should only strengthen your faith in God, because you're realizing it's only God who's doing that. Peter was a weak man. He was an unlearned man. He didn't have all his speech together. And how many people got saved on the day of Pentecost and were added to the church? It wasn't him. And the people were saying, what is going on with these men? These were fishermen. They didn't know anything, and they were this and that. Well, where did the power come from? It was the power of Christ. It was the demonstration of the Spirit of God through their lives. That's what I'm burdened comes from my life as your pastor. And oh, I hope you see the Holy Spirit. Not because Pastor Josh lives so godly and spiritual. Oh man, I'm burdened that I do, and I sure want to please God. But even my failures in your eyes should point you and strengthen your faith in God, because wow, look what God can still do. Man, I'm excited what God's going to do at Jerusalem Baptist Church this year. And I'm convinced, and I'm telling you, it has nothing to do with me. Man, I've prayed in multiple times, as God, if anything happens here at church, it has nothing to do with me. You do it all. And the reality is, you and I share the gospel. It has nothing to do with me if someone gets saved. I am simply the messenger. It was the Spirit of God at work through my life and working in their life. And as we present the message, we must let that strengthen our faith. For some, they need to be saved. But for others of us who are saved, we listen to the messenger and let that just draw us closer to God. That's what I want. That's what I am. That's what I need. That's the foundation. I believe the truth. Again, he goes back to his speech. Verse 4, my speech. Verse 1, my speech. He talks about wisdom throughout this passage. Verse 5, that your faith should not stand in the what? Wisdom of men. Man, I'm not trying to convince you of some earthly thing. Many different religions out there try to convince people to believe their belief system, their wisdom. It is man's wisdom that I crawl on my knees, however many steps it is, to try to earn my way through less time in purgatory. Or it is man's wisdom to try to do this and that and the other to hopefully earn my way to heaven. See, Paul said, I'm not coming to convince you of some worldly wisdom, something that you need to believe to try to do this and do that and act upon this. He said, I am giving you the message of God, and the message I give you, that's where your faith should be. That's why, as I've come, it should only strengthen your faith, because you see, it is not Paul that we're following. And as your pastor, as much as I am leading you unto godliness, it ultimately is not me that you're following. It is Christ. As pastor, one of the things that pastors are challenged to do, and I think we pointed this out in our Sunday school class this morning, is to feed the flock. As a pastor, that means you shepherd, you lead. But simply, I am an under-shepherd of Christ. Because as I lead you, it's only as I'm following Him. And we get to follow Christ together as a church family. It's about His message. It's not about me. It's not about your Sunday school teacher. It's not about your mentor. It's not about the other messengers in your life that have failed you. It's about Him. Oh, what a Savior. That He died for me. Oh, that He gave salvation and has made me free. It's all about Him. Believe the message that the messengers bring. He said, at the end of verse 5, but in the power of God. My faith should be in the power of God. His preaching, his proclamation, his speech, his conversation, that was only to point them to the truth of Jesus Christ. He said, don't let that distract you. Let that point you to Christ. And as you go about this week, as one who gives the message, don't let your weakness and your lack of fluent speaking in that area or this area or whatever area it may be stop you from giving the message of God. But go in the power of Christ as Paul went. This week, as you listen to the messengers God has put in your life, to your pastor, to your Sunday school teacher, to your youth leaders, to your parents, to others that God has put in your life, will you listen? Will you draw close to God and let that strengthen your faith? As Paul said, your faith should be in the power of God. And if you and I are going to redeem our time throughout this week, we can't let our faith get distracted by other people. Because they failed me. People will fail me, but God will never. Jesus is the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. If I lay the foundation of my life based on other people's human failures, I'm the one who gives account to God for that. But if I lay the foundation of my life on other people's victories and say, man, I follow Pastor Josh. It's not just about following the preacher. It's about growing in the faith of Christ and letting Christ make that difference in my life. You can see the power of God at work in your life, and I want you to. You can see the power of God at work in the messengers' lives, and I want you to. Don't be like the businessman with a barometer and put your faith in some stupid thing that doesn't work because the messenger's broken. Would you put your faith in Christ? The just shall live by faith. When we think of faith, we often think of simply salvation. Friend, if you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior, today is the day of salvation. Christ died for your sin according to the Scripture, and that He was buried and that He rose again the third day for you. That's what you place your faith in. That's the only way you can have a relationship with God. That's the only way you can have a home in heaven. That is the difference Christ makes. But for those of us in here who know Jesus Christ as Savior, we must continue to live by faith in Him and in His message, not in the failures or the victories or the positive character traits of men, but in the message God gives us. So what will you do this week? Are you listening to the messenger, even if you either struggle with them, or is it just because they sound so good? Are you sharing the message even if you struggle with weakness and fear and letting that go in the power of God? What will you do? How will you respond to God's message today?